right, folks, welcome to According to Sam. We're just trucking right along here in 2024, already in the month of March. Happy Friday. Thank you guys for tuning in and joining me today. I have a great podcast for you today. Did you guys tune into the State of the Union address last night? We're going to talk about it a little bit. Wow. All I can say is wow. Joe Biden seems to be being graded on a curve by the media. Everybody's saying how great of a job he did. The guy starts off the day before the State of the Union tweeting out a announcement for the State of the Union, and it's got the wrong date on the announcement, the wrong year, the wrong month. And then, you know, he proceeds to do this thing, and it was just full of lies. It was political. He starts the State of the Union with his priority, which what I've been telling you over the last few weeks. I started this series of podcasts talking about Ukraine, explaining to you about Ukraine, letting you know that the priority of these people is not the United States, is not the United States people. The priority is Ukraine for them. And Joe Biden starts off his State of the United States Union last night, you know, advocating for Ukraine. It's unbelievable. There's so much unbelievable stuff that happened in that speech last night. We also had Super Tuesday on Tuesday, and we know that the 2024 election, if you had any doubt who was going to be the Republican nominee, we now know that Trump is the Republican nominee and Biden seems to be running. I mean, a lot of people predicted that he wasn't going to make it to the finish line, and he was going to be replaced. There are people talking about Michelle Obama, Gavin Newsom. It's going to be Trump and Biden. It's going to be a rematch of 2020. And we're in an election year, folks. And from here on out, things are just going to escalate as we get closer and closer to November. This is about power. Politics is about power. It's not about anything else but power is what it's about. And, you know, you're going to be seeing all kinds of tricks, all types of propaganda, all types of mind control, spiritual warfare over the next few months. And you have to be prepared, and you better be prayed up, and you better you better be able to discern and to protect yourself and to identify some of the tricks and tactics that are going to be used over the next few months. Now, one of these tricks and tactics that's going to be used over the next few months in this political environment that we're in this election year. I want to start the podcast talking about this, and then if I have a little time at the end of the podcast, there's still a lot that I want to tell you about Ukraine. Like I was telling you, Ukraine is their priority. There's a lot that I still want to get into with Ukraine. I was also thinking about the fact that this $95 billion. Well, we'll get into that if we have time at the end of the podcast. If I don't have time to pick that up at the end of this podcast, we will pick it up in the next podcast. But this guy on Twitter, the day after Super Tuesday, he put out this tweet asking a question, and I want to let this guy's question get us kicked off here in this podcast. Take a listen to this gentleman ask this what seems like a very sincere question.
How can millions of Christians vote for the least Christ-like person in America today on Super Tuesday? He lies. He cheats. He steals. He bullies. He even brags about grabbing women by the and they still vote for him. I'm a blue dot in a red state surrounded by Trump voters, and I still don't get it. I see a lot of people asking this question as well.
I see a lot of people asking this question as well, bro.
I thought I would turn to the internet while I'm out here going for a walk in rural Missouri to see if you all could help me and other people who are as confused as I am understand what's going on here.
All right, so I'm going to help you. I'm going to help this guy understand what's going on here because he seems sincere. And like he says, he sees a lot of people asking this question. Now, some of the people asking this question are not sincere. Some of these people asking this question, they have a political agenda. And this is a very popular theme. Rob Reiner, Meathead, has a new documentary out. I want you to take a look at the trailer from this documentary.
America and Christianity are like baseball and apple pie, and we celebrate them together.
I was 16, 17 years old when I became a Christian.
I'm an evangelical minister.
I've been a Christian my whole life.
This guy.
I was 16, 17 years old when I became a Christian.
I'm an evangelical minister.
I've been a Christian my whole life.
Russell Moore. Look at this guy. Russell Moore is the editor of Christianity Today, a magazine. So remember him. We're going to talk a lot about him in a moment. This guy, this, I forget his name, Bishop something, he believes in liberation theology. That's his theology, his liberation theology. So he's in Michael Moore's movie. Michael Moore is not a Christian himself. Take a look at this.
I'm a Christian nationalist. I have nothing to be ashamed of because that's what most Americans are.
Christian nationalist.
This term that has just come about, Christian nationalism. I mean, 10 years ago, you never heard the word Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism is a new concept in our lexicon. It has just come about, and it's being used as a defamatory term. And what these people are trying to do is they're trying to peel off Trump's coalition, and by saying that Trump is not Christian and Christians shouldn't be voting for him because for some reason, if you know anything about American history and the 46 other presidents that we've had in this country, how many of them can you say, oh, they were Christian? But for some reason, Trump has one of them. I can only think of one, really. Maybe two, but in the last 50 years, there's only one that I can truly say that I would think that this man, even before he came into office and while he was in office until to this day, he was a terrible president. and I'm not going to even say his name because some of you guys already know who I'm talking about. He was a terrible president, but I don't doubt that this man was a Christian. That he believed, but some of the others, Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton, are you joking with me? It's more Christian to vote for Joe Biden, but this is what people. Let me calm down here. Let's look at more of Rob Reiner's trailer for his documentary.
I have nothing to be ashamed of because that's what most Americans are.
Is Christian nationalism Christian?
No, it isn't. We should be blazing forth as a countercultural example, and instead, we're leading the charge of malice and division.
Christian nationalism uses Christianity as a means to an end. That end being some form of...
It connected all to January 6th. I mean, this is some really deceptive stuff. This is about Trump. This is political. This has nothing to do with Christianity. This is not spiritual. It is spiritual, but it's political. They are using spiritual manipulation for political reasons is what's happening here. Listen to Rob Reiner.
We'll show you in the documentary. And by the way, there are very conservative Christian evangelicals.
I'm sure they are.
Pastors, very respected people in the Christian community that are frightened of this Christian nationalist movement, because it's not, they not only frightened about it hurting democracy, but Christianity itself. And we show in the film that this movement was the foundation for January 6th.
The foundation for January 6th, Christian nationalism. Now, this is a brand new concept. Christian nationalism. This is a brand new term that they're bringing out and bringing it out politically and then tying it to January 6th. I don't know. Was Ray Epps a Christian nationalist? I mean, it's ridiculous when you have the eyes to see through this and the way I do. This is so ridiculous, but so many people are going to fall prey to this because there's so many of these charlatans that are out pitching this Christian nationalist stuff right now. And again, what they're trying to do is they're trying to peel off a coalition of voters that are voting for Trump. And like the gentleman asked, and that seemed very sincere, who we played in the beginning of the podcast, I'm going to explain why Christians like myself are voting for Donald Trump. I'm going to explain why. Donald Trump is not perfect by any means, but I'm going to explain to you why I'm voting for him. And so what these people are doing is very deceptive. It's very obvious to me, but for a lot of people, it's not obvious, and it is diabolical what is going on, because, again, they're trying to peel off a coalition of voters, a very loyal coalition of voters that Trump has, by trying to shame them into not voting for Trump, because saying that Trump does not represent Christian values, he's not Christian enough, that you shouldn't vote for him, but you should vote for Joe Biden because Joe Biden for some reason is Christian. It's hilarious. Now, Russell Moore, this guy, he's in Rob Reiner's movie. Russell Moore has been a fierce critic of Donald Trump for years. Again, he is the editor of Christianity Today. Theologian Russell Moore has a message for Christians who still worship Trump. Like, just because I'm voting for Trump doesn't mean that I worship Trump. I'm voting for Trump. If you vote for Joe Biden, does that mean you worship him? This guy, I wish I had time to play. I don't have time to play the interview, and I didn't cue it up. But this guy is, talk about worshiper. This guy was a George Bush sycophant. This guy loved George Bush and said George Bush represented Christian values. George Bush was so Christian, but Donald Trump's not Christian enough. But George Bush was Russell Moore. George Bush was the person who Christians should look at as an example of what a good Christian should be. George W. Bush, who lied us into a war, killing over a million Iraqis, lied. His entire administration was nothing but lies. And George Bush, when he was asked, do Muslims and Christians worship the same God? George Bush said, yes, I think they do. I think Muslims and Christians worship the same God. Muslims worship Allah, and Christians worship Yahweh, but for some reason, Allah and Yahweh are the same to George W. Bush, but Russell Moore thought that he was a great Christian president. And we shouldn't be voting for Donald Trump because Donald Trump, for some reason, is not a Christian. But Joe Biden is. So, like I said, there are many of these people in this Christian nationalism space right now that are writing books, that are doing talks, and they are the audiences for this, who are showing up at their talks, who are buying their books, are mostly people that are not Christians. This is the audience for this. Maybe a few Christians, because that's the objective, to peel off Christians. But the majority, if you look at some of these talks where these people go, they're all over MSNBC. They're all over these liberal spaces, and that's the majority of the audience who is buying. But there's so many of these people. Andrew Whitehead here, American Ideology, How Christian Nationalism Betrays the Gospel and Threatens the Church. Let's listen to a little bit of Andrew Whitehead.
The book by Andrew Whitehead is Taking America Back for God, Christian Nationalism in the United...
This is his second book, Taking America Back from God. And then this one is his first book. So this guy's making a killing writing books about this stuff.
States, it looks at the Christian nationalism movement. Andrew is at the Center for the Study of Religion and American Culture at Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis, and he joins us now. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So for those who don't know, explain what Christian nationalism is.
Yeah, Christian nationalism that my co-author Sam Perry and I study is a desire to see the national identity of America closely fused with a particular strain of Christian identity. So they want to see an America that is distinctively Christian in its public policies, its national identity, and its sacred symbols, from the top all the way to down to the bottom in everything that we do.
And how does that differentiate from evangelical Christians?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's one thing that we really get to in our work to try and provide a little bit more precision, because a lot of times when we're talking about religion in America, we'll talk about evangelicals. But what we find over and over in our work is that really it's much more precise to talk about Christian nationalism, because
once we account for
Christian nationalism, this desire to see the United States as a distinctively Christian nation, the differences between evangelicals and other religious groups actually disappears. And so we have a lot of evangelicals who do believe that the U.S. should be distinctively Christian, but about 20% actually reject or resist that ideology.
So what does that mean, that the United States should be distinctively Christian? Was the United States, when it first came into being, after the Constitution was ratified, and the United States is in its earliest infancy, was it a Christian nation? Well, I don't believe it was a Christian nation. I don't believe that the United States is a Christian nation today. And I don't believe that there's a group of Christians that want the United States to be a theocratic Christian nation. But if you go back to the infancy of the United States, and for 150 years after that, before the Cultural Revolution started in the 50s and 60s, that the influence of Christianity was all over this country, in its laws, in its culture, everything. So we have the Cultural Revolution in the 50s and 60s, And now we're slowly moving away from that. Just because Christians want to move back to a place where Christianity had a major influence on our culture, on our laws, why is that a bad thing? So that's what this guy is saying that Christian nationalism is, and that's his explanation. Here's another one here. Praying for war, the extremist history of white Christian nationalism, and it's always, and white too. So some of them just say Christian nationalism. That's what Whitehead was saying here. He was just talking about Christian nationalism. So I guess that you could be an Asian Christian nationalist or a black Christian nationalist if you just use the word Christian nationalism. But when they're using just the word Christian, the words Christian nationalist, you know, they're kind of alluding to white Christian nationalism. That's what they're alluding to, because that's what it comes down to, is that, and I'm going to prove that to you here in a moment. It's political and it's racist, and it is meant to drive a wedge through the Christian community. And that is exactly what this stuff is. So this guy gets right to it. His name is Bradley Onishi, and Bradley Onishi, the Praying for the War, the Extremist History of White Christian Nationalism and What Comes Next. I want you to listen to a little bit of his lecture here. And again, it's a very liberal audience that he's giving this lecture to. You can see the sign here, secular by nature, ethical by purpose. They're humanists. So he's writing this book about the dangers, and he'll tell you here in a moment how he came out of Christians, and they're all ex-Christians or people that are no longer in the faith and are very critical. And it all comes down to Trump. This is what all this comes down to. That's what you got to understand. Don't lose sight of that. If there was no Donald Trump, there would be no narrative of Christian nationalism. All of this comes down to Trump, and you're going to see that here. That's why Rob Reiner and his movie ties it back to January 6th and all of that. This is all about Trump. So let's listen to a little bit. I want you to listen to the woman that introduces him as well, because it's pretty funny, and then we're going to listen to the author.
And I'm very pleased to introduce our speaker today, who's in from San Francisco, Bradley Onishi. Brad is co-host of the podcast Straight White American Jesus, which I think should win some kind of award for most creative name of a podcast. He's also author of a new book, Preparing for War, the Extremist History of White Christian Nationalism, and What Comes Next, which, as Ellie mentioned, will be for sale downstairs, and you can get Brad to sign it. Brad's presentation couldn't be more timely, as we are fresh off of the Iowa caucuses, where white evangelicals helped propel Donald Trump to victory.
You see?
Religion scholar who teaches at the University of San Francisco, Brad offers a perspective that most other experts on Christian nationalism cannot. He is a former evangelical minister. The title of the first chapter of his book is Would I Have Been There? By there, he means the January 6th insurrection.
See? You guys see?
He brings that perspective to his podcast as well, where with his co-host, Dan Miller, he decodes some of the religious beliefs that undergird white Christian nationalism 3 times a week. Please give a warm welcome to Brad Onishi.
Really excited to be here. I have a 4-month-old travel, and I believe it's about 6 degrees today, maybe more. So, okay. I'm not going if it's 75 and lovely. Okay. As Suzanne said, this is something I've lived. I left evangelicalism in 2005 and stayed kind of in the religion game as a scholar. So I've been studying these things for the last 2 decades, and I kind of bring an insider scholarly perspective to the whole phenomenon. As she said, we talk about this 3 times a week on our show, so there it's always fresh on my mind, and it's kind of what I eat and breathe and live on a daily basis. So some of these slides I just added in the last couple days because things keep getting scarier. So let's
so scary.
Let's jump in.
It's so scary.
All right. hopefully our audio is going to play. We'll see if this plays for us.
The other day, Donald Trump said on his first day he's going to be a dictator for a day.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
You'd rather have Donald Trump as a dictator for 4 years or re-elect Joe Biden for 4 years?
I would rather have Donald Trump.
I mean, the question is ridiculous that they asked this person. But I just want you to see that this all has to do with Trump. All of this Christian nationalism, I just making the case that all of this stuff has to do with Trump. There would be no Christian nationalism without Trump. There was more of this lecture that I wanted to play. I'll put it in the show notes. You can find it on my website, according to sam.com. And I'll put a bunch of references to this stuff. And if you didn't know that, you can find the show notes where I put data and support and references to everything that I talk about on this podcast on my website. And that's according to sam.com. Tim Alberta. This is one of my favorite of the these charlatans. These political charlatans. Tim Alberta wrote the book, The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. And he's been all over promoting this book, talking about Christian nationalism, American evangelicals in the age of extremism. That's his subtitle. He's done a lot of MSNBC, of course. They love having him on, these godless people, to shame Christians into not voting for Donald Trump. I want you to take a little listen to Tim Alberta here, and we'll move on.
What was it about Donald Trump, right? When you think back to the evangelical church, what they care about, their values, right? There is no alignment with Donald Trump, the man, except, of course, he said, let's get rid of abortion. Was that it?
I have no alignment with Joe Biden. As far as values go, none of my values align with Joe Biden. I'm sorry. None of my values align with Barack Hussein Obama. None of them. None of them. None of my values align with Bill Clinton or George, either Bush. None of my values align with them. So what are you talking about that my values all of a sudden have to line up with Trump perfectly to vote for him? It's ridiculous.
Except, of course, he said, let's get rid of abortion. Was that it?
I think it was a few things. I think abortion is, in many ways, the entry point. I think it's almost fair to characterize it as a gateway drug for many evangelicals. What I mean by that is that if you are a church-going evangelical Christian and you are taught, if you are discipled in the church to realize that partisan politics are not the end-all be-all, that that is ultimately not the arena where you are called to invest all of your passions. But abortion, for many of these folks, is not a political issue. It is an ethical issue. It is a moral issue. It is a spiritual issue. So they sort of, you know, they create a permission structure to invest in that issue of abortion. But suddenly, Stephanie, when you invest so heavily in that issue of abortion, then the red team becomes your allies, the blue team becomes your enemies. And then suddenly all of these other proxy wars that pop up over all kinds of other policy issues, they become not R versus D, red versus blue, becomes good versus evil. And if you start assigning that to other partisan disputes, and this guy, Donald Trump, who shares none of your values, but he's willing to go to war for you. He's willing to fight for you. In fact, I would even say he's willing to fight for you in ways that no good Christian ever would. Right? Remember when George W. Bush said that in order to save the free market, he first had to jettison free market principles?
Yes, I remember.
There's something to that idea here where for some Christians, they came to believe that to protect Christian virtue in this country, the first step was to jettison Christian virtue and embrace this guy, Donald Trump.
Okay. It's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I'm not going to break down what Tim Alberta says there because he does say some things that are true, that as Christians, that we don't necessarily shouldn't be looking at government to save us. the government's not going to save us. That's, you know, this is what you got to understand, is that we don't believe that government is our God. So government is not going to save us. And no, we don't want to arrest government and have government do our will. That's not necessarily what we're talking about and what Christians are advocating. But, you know, we live in a democracy. What is a democracy? A democracy is, you know, rule by the people. That's what it basically translates into, rule by the people. So going back to the early part of the American experiment, the early states, you know, the first 100 years of the American experiment, people went to church regularly. People identified as Christians. So because we are a democracy and more people identified as Christians, then just naturally you would have a society that reflected what more people were, because it's a democracy. So if it's ruled by the people, then you get what the people want as far as laws and policy. We had a cultural revolution in the 50s and the 60s, and the society and the culture started to change. It's changed significantly now. And what Christians should be doing is being a light. That's what the Jesus tells Christians, that you should be a light to the world. So we should, in dark places, when the culture and everything is getting darker, we should shine a light to the world. I don't really get this concept of evangelical Christians. If you're not evangelical, I don't understand how you can be Christian at all, because evangelical means to evangelize. It's to proselytize your faith. And that's, that's the Great Commission. That's what Christians are called to do. So if you're not evangelical, how can you be Christian? So that's another, characterization that I don't really understand. But that's what Christians are called to do, is to influence the culture. And if you influence the culture and you have more people who accept Christianity and the culture and that are Christians, then naturally you're going to get laws and policies that reflect what the people want in a democracy. Nobody is saying that we want a theocracy where Christians are taking over the government and running the government theocratically. But what we're saying is that we are a democracy, and if more people would, if we evangelize, proselytize, you know, share the good news of Christianity with more people accept Christianity, and then that reflects in the laws and the culture and the society. That is the mission of what Christians are talking about, which is being misconstrued as this Christian nationalist, that people want a theocratic Christian state. It's ridiculous. And that's what Tim Alberta is conflating here when he says that, we're being taught it, and the Bible teaches that we should be focused on, you know, the kingdom of God and not any earthly government and getting into, you know, partisan battles. He's half right there, and he's using half truths. But the other part of it is that, you know, we should be trying to be a light. Jesus tells us to be a light in dark places in society. Jesus tells us to be salt, which is a preservative, to preserve culture and society. Now, we know that culture is rotting and that it's eventually going to rot, but Christians should be, you know, to preserve culture as long as we can. So that's why Tim Alberta is conflating those, and these other people are conflating those. And for them, the only thing they care about is Trump. It's only political for them, you know. one of my favorite Christian ministers, you know, got into this in the last week, John MacArthur. He pastors a church in Los Angeles. I want you to take a listen to what John MacArthur says.
That's a pretty big question. So let's just pick off Christian nationalism. I'll give you a simple answer. There's no such thing.
No such thing.
There is no such thing as Christian nationalism.
They made it up for politics. They made it up so Christians wouldn't vote for Trump. That's what it all comes down to.
The kingdom of God is not of this world. Jesus said that. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. His kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of this world is a separate world. They're not linked together. Let me say it another way. Nothing that happens in any nation, whether it's a communist nation, a Muslim nation.
I want to stop this because I disagree, and I don't know if I disagree, but I just want to add more to what John MacArthur says here, because he's saying that that Jesus did say that his kingdom is not of this world and that the kingdom of God is not of this world. But when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, knowing that Jesus's kingdom is not of this world and God's kingdom is not of this world, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So even though the kingdom is not of this world, Jesus taught his disciples to pray to bring the kingdom of heaven into this world. And that's exactly what happens on the day of Pentecost. The kingdom of God comes into this world for a purpose of transforming the world. And that should be the mission. So I just want to add that clarity.
Jesus said that. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. His kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of this world is a separate world. They're not linked together. Let me say it another way. Nothing that happens in any nation, whether it's a communist nation, a Muslim nation, or a quote-unquote quasi-Christian nation or an atheistic nation, nothing in that nation politically, socially has anything to do with the advancement of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is separate from that system. God in his sovereignty is building his church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it, Jesus said. So the idea that you should link up some political effort, some political process, some social process, some gain of power or influence in a culture as part of the advance of Christianity is alien to Christianity. You never have our Lord approaching anything like that, nor the apostles, and particularly the apostle Paul.
And I agree. I agree with MacArthur there. But I do think that going back to the Great Commission, that we should be putting an effort into evangelizing, proselytizing, and changing the culture. And then that, because we live in a democracy where that in concept, it's, you know, the rule of the people. So if you are able to change culture and affect culture by getting culture to turn from their wicked ways and to come back to a wholesome morality, that you will see a cultural shift in the United States and start to, I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't believe that, that prophetically that's what Christians expect to happen, that we will have that type of effect on culture. But theoretically, if we did go out, if the church, if the Christian church went out and had an effect on culture, person by person, and affected culture to where culture embraced morality, embraced Christian virtues, embraced Christ, then it would reflect in the laws. It would reflect because of the nature of our system of democracy. It doesn't have to be a theocracy to have that effect. You could get that effect in democracy if Christians were going out being the light of the world, being the salt of the world. So I just wanted to say that.
Not to gain no favor with the Roman Empire whatsoever, or for that matter with any other of the rulers that he ran into during his life. Now, that is not to say that we are indifferent to what happens in the nation. We've been talking about that the last couple of Sunday mornings. We have to be the people who uphold righteousness. When we come to vote, we want to vote for that which is the most righteous option. Obviously, we can't vote in righteousness, but we have to vote in a way that reflects our commitment to the righteousness of God.
So that's what MacArthur is saying there is that we need to vote for the policy. That it's not about the personality. It's not about, going back to this guy's question, it's not about the guy who's running. It's not about the personality of Donald Trump and the fact that you don't like Donald Trump and you think that he's mean and a bully and all the other things that you see in Donald Trump that somehow you can't see in Joe Biden. I don't know why you can't see those things in Joe Biden, but you see them in Trump. You said Trump's a liar, but I guess Joe Biden's not a liar. You don't see that. So, but the policy differences in this election couldn't be more different, couldn't be more stark at all, the policy differences between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And that is what MacArthur is talking about here, is that Christians vote on policy. That's why Christians are voting for Donald Trump, is because Donald Trump's policy to kill the Iranian general Soleimani is a different policy than Joe Biden in giving the mullahs in Iran billions of dollars, unfreezing billions of dollars for them. That's a different policy. Do you want the policy of the guy who kills the Iranian general, or the guy who gives Iran billions of dollars, unfreezes billions of dollars? Do you want a policy of the guy who kills the leader of ISIS, or do you want a policy of the guy who gives ISIS weapons? Do you want a policy of a guy who is calling for peace in Ukraine and to end the war in Ukraine? Or do you want a policy of a guy who's calling for more weapons to Ukraine for more people to die? Do you want a policy of a guy who is supporting illegal migration and open borders? Or do you want a guy who is running on securing the border? I mean, that's what it comes down to. It has nothing to do with Christianity. You know how many Christians are voting for Joe Biden? You know what I can say about those people?
Righteous option. Obviously, we can't vote in righteousness, but we have to vote in a way that reflects our commitment to the righteousness of God. So we couldn't possibly elect somebody who was an abortionist, somebody who was LGBTQ or LGBTQ affirming, or any other deviation from God's.
He's talking about Joe Biden. We can't vote for Joe Biden because Joe Biden supports abortion. Joe Biden is supporting this gender and LGBT madness. If you support that, then you vote for Joe Biden. Christians don't support that. There's nothing Christian about this LGBTQ plus madness, transgender madness. There's nothing Christian about that. So of course Christians aren't going to vote for Joe Biden.
We have to be the people who uphold righteousness. We when we come to vote, we want to vote for that which is the most righteous option. Obviously, we can't vote in righteousness, but we have to vote in a way that reflects our commitment to the righteousness of God. So we couldn't possibly elect somebody who was an abortionist, somebody who was LGBTQ or LGBTQ affirming, or any other deviation from God's righteous moral standard. So
he said deviants. They're deviants. He said don't vote for deviants. So then MSNBC had these clowns on, and they wrote this book about white rule voters, and it echoes. Remember when Barack Obama called them bitter clingers? You know, they're picking up on this Christian nationalist stuff. It all has to do with Trump, and they are making it very racial because they're not pointing out any black Christians or Asian Christians or any. They want to make it racial because the purpose of this is to divide, is to drive a wedge into a voting block, a very loyal voting block that's voting for Trump on policy, not because he's some great person. We're voting for him on policy. It's funny because Joe Biden has this saying that he always says is that don't judge me by the Almighty, judge me or. But yes, that's what he says. Don't judge me by the Almighty. Judge me by the alternative is what he says. And I hear Joe Biden say that. I'm saying that's exactly how I judge Trump. I don't judge Trump by the Almighty. I judge Trump by the alternative. And you are the alternative, Joe Biden. What you're going to have, what you're going to be faced with in November is a binary choice. Either Joe Biden is going to be president for another 4 years, or Kamala Harris, who's even worse, or it's going to be Donald Trump, or whoever he picks as his vice president. But, I mean, it's pretty much a binary choice that you have. So, no, I don't judge Trump by the Almighty. I judge him by the alternative. And if I'm making that choice, Trump is better than Joe Biden any day. Take a listen to these clowns who wrote this book.
Their new book out tomorrow is entitled White Rural Rage, The Threat to American Democracy. And Tom, we'll start with you. Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point? You would think, as we pointed out, looking at Joe Biden's background and Donald Trump's, that the opposite would be true.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, wow, anti-immigrant, anti-gay, wow, geodemographic group in the country.
Wow.
Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without, wow, any check from Congress or the courts or their bureaucracy.
So
they're also,
do you notice how MSNBC is bringing all these guys on that are writing these books? If they're writing about white nationalism explicitly, like Tim Alberta or some of these other guys. I mean, MSNBC, which these people, I mean, this is not a network of people that I would say would speak for Christians, but they keep bringing these people on to talk about how racist these white rural Christians are. And they're a threat to democracy over and over again.
Most strongly white nationalists.
This is a ploy, people. That's why I'm doing this in this podcast, because you're going to be seeing a lot of this over the next few months. And you should be aware of this ploy and you should reject it.
White Christian nationalists. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or.
The black guy, Robinson in North Carolina, it's a black man. Who the Republican Party just just nominated to be the governor of North Carolina. He's also a Christian. And that guy, I guarantee they're going to throw everything into that race because they do not, because that guy destroys their narrative. This is only about white people, white Christian nationalists. They don't want to talk about the millions of black Christians that are supporting Trump or the millions of other Christians of other races that are supporting Trump. They only want to focus on the white Christians. Why is that?
Justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
So you mentioned a lot of negative factors about this demographic. Tom, what else do they have in common?
You know, I think that what really matters at this point in time.
What makes them vulnerable?
A lot of that has to do with, as a starting point, the problems that rural America has, which are very real and very profound.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is interesting.
Problematic education systems. They have poor infrastructure. They've had a lack of economic opportunity. We've seen a lot of manufacturing jobs leave.
America has let these people down. Particularly Americans like Joe Biden. I thought one of the funniest things that he was talking about last night in his State of the Union was how he's going to be bringing jobs back. that's not the one. That's not the one that I wanted to show you. Hold on, let me bring this up. Joe Biden, he's working class Joe. He's going to bring these jobs. Oh, I have it right here. He's going to bring the jobs back. Look at this. He's blue-collar working-class Joe. Democrats itching to take down Biden over free trade pass. Biden's campaign kicked off. This is 2020 campaign. Biden's campaign kicked off was designed to showcase his blue-collar appeal. A rally at a Teamsters Hall in Pittsburgh where he rallied against Wall Street. Demanding that a local employer stop union busting. But one staple of Democratic stump speeches heard across the Rust Belt, missing middle class Joe, as he has dubbed himself, didn't once mention trade. So one staple of Democratic stump speeches heard across the Rust Belt, missing middle class Joe, as he dubs himself, didn't once mention trade. Why didn't you mention trade? There's probably a reason for that. In the Senate, Biden voted for the NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, and permanent normal trade relations with China. So he voted for NAFTA and permanent normal trade relations to China. That's where all the jobs were shipped off to. So Joe Biden voted for all that. As then President Barack Obama's number two, he supported the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So he was an advocate for the Trans-Pacific Partnership that we're going to send more of the jobs over to Asia. So these are the choices that these people have to make, is what this guy's talking about here. Because she asked the question, you know, what's driving these white rural Christian nationalists to Donald Trump? And he identifies the problem.
Public discourse.
So you mentioned
the racist
of negative factors about this demographic. Tom, what else do they have in common?
I think that What really matters at this point in time.
What makes them vulnerable?
A lot of that has to do with, as a starting point, the problems that rural America has, which are very real and very profound.
Mm-hmm. Very real and very profound.
The more problematic.
Who caused that? Who caused those very real and very profound problems in rural America with manufacturing, sending manufacturing overseas? Who voted for that? Huh?
education systems. They have poor infrastructure. They've had a lack of economic opportunity. We've seen a lot of manufacturing jobs leave from rural areas.
Because of Joe Biden.
Kind of left them open to someone like Donald Trump, who would come along and tell them something that was true, that there is a system that has not served them well.
Wow. But they're racist, huh? But they're racist. MSNBC again. This is from a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you guys saw this, but this is another airhead on MSNBC talking about Christian nationalism. Take a listen.
Hear words like Christian nationalism, like the new apostolic reformation. These are groups that you should get very schooled on, because they have a lot of power in Trump's circle. And the one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, mm-hmm. is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God. The problem with that is that they are determining men are determining what God is telling them. And in the past, that so-called natural law is, you know, it's a pillar of Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Catholicism, for instance, has been used for good in social justice campaigns. Right. Martin Luther King evoked it in talking about civil rights. But now you have an extremist element of conservative Christians who say that this applies specifically to issues including abortion, gay marriage, and it's going much further than that.
Wow, she got roasted. They roasted this woman for that, for the comments that she made. I guess she's never heard of John Locke at all, or the Declaration of Independence. But you see the theme here. These people are mad, and it's crazy. Here's Joy Reid the other night on Super Tuesday. Take a listen to what she said.
But Republican
vote channel too. This is all on MSNBC. It's going on the other channels too, but the MSNBC is the hub for all of this craziness.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president.
She's saying that the policies don't matter to these voters, that they're not smart enough to vote to think that Donald Trump's policies are better for them than Joe Biden's policy, that they're not smart like her in her Ivy League, from her Ivy League Eiffel Tower. They're not smart like Joy Reid and these other not going to be mean, but these others here. Look at this. Yeah, they're smarter than all of you rural white hicks, you rubes who believe in God, you bunch of rubes who think that Donald Trump, his policies are better than Joe Biden's. They don't make decisions based on that.
They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it. Therefore, drive all the blacks out of the colleges. Get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which, at this stage, it isn't about economics.
No,
but
they're only voting on racial animus. The white rubes are only. Now, why doesn't anybody say anything about Joe Biden always campaigning at the black church? What about the black nationalists? The black Christian nationalists? Yeah. Why does Joe Biden get to, and Barack Obama and all the Democrats get to appeal to black Christians and to go out and campaign to black Christians, and that's okay. But Donald Trump can't go out and appeal to white Christians. It's a con, people. So back to this guy's question. Let's listen to his question again.
Millions of Christians. How can millions of Christians vote for the least Christ-like person in America today on Super Tuesday? He lies. He cheats. He steals. He bullies. He even brags about grabbing women by the and they still vote for him. I'm a blue dot in a red state surrounded by Trump voters, and I still don't get it. I see a lot of people asking this question as well. So I thought I would turn to the internet while I'm out here going for a walk in rural Missouri to see if you all could help me and other people who are as confused as I am understand what's going on here.
I hope somebody gets my podcast to you, buddy, because I'm going to play this last clip. And this was Killer Mike. He was on the Bill Maher show a couple of weeks ago. And Bill Maher asked him, directly who he's voting for in November. Who does he support, Joe Biden or Donald Trump? And I want you to listen to what Killer Mike says to Bill Maher. And this is why Christians are voting for Joe Biden. I mean, for Donald Trump. And there's some voting for Joe Biden, too. And you have every right to vote for Joe Biden. I'm not going to say that you're not a Christian or you're less of a Christian because you vote for a guy who believes in abortion and that there's more than two genders, a guy who supports war and death all over this world, a guy who is called Genocide Joe, who they're calling Genocide Joe. I'm not going to say that you're less of a Christian just because you vote for that guy, but don't say that I'm less of a Christian because I vote for Donald Trump. I vote for Donald Trump because of this.
What are your feelings on the election coming up? I mean, Biden and Trump, are you as depressed about that as most people, as a choice?
My feeling is pick your policy, not your person.
You hear what Killer Mike just said?
As a choice?
My feeling is pick your policy, not your person. Find out. This is not the Dallas Cowboys versus your favorite team. This is the policies that will affect our generations for the next 20, 30, 40 years to come. So close your eyes. Listen to the policies that are being pushed.
Close your eyes. Don't even look at Donald Trump. I don't even care about his personality. I don't even care about how many phony lawfare indictments y'all throw on him. I don't care about that. That's not what I'm voting for. I'm voting for closing the border. I'm voting for stopping the war in Ukraine. I'm voting for deportations. I have a lot of other stuff that I'm voting for. But those are the policies that I'm voting for.
This is not the Dallas Cowboys versus your favorite team. This is the policies that will affect our generations for the next 20, 30, 40 years to come. So close your eyes, listen to the policies that are being pushed, and pay attention even to the people who don't have a chance of winning, because they're going to say policies you may want to push. And I would say do that, but make it policy-based.
Make it policy-based, people. And that's why Christians are voting for Donald Trump. And don't let anybody, especially people who are not Christians, who are not believers, don't let them shame you.